What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Are you kidding? Do we get a parade for that? Champagne?
Yeah.
Nothing? Nothing? Crickets?
You know what those will get you, Andy?
The preseason champions of the world t-shirts?
There you go. I've ordered mine.
Jeff, what did we see on Saturday, my friend? What did we see? 216-474-0092, if you have the answer. Yes.
I actually thought Dylan Gabriel played well. I know he made one pass that he'd like to have back. According to people who I trust who know football, he shouldn't have thrown the pass. Now, was there other stuff going on that play that wasn't good? Yeah. Two receivers in the same spot, two defensive backs there. Deontay Johnson was past the ball. It wasn't on him. Ball was behind him. It was in front of the tight end. And
Johnson got pushed. Isn't that what
it looked like? It.
Yeah.
Bottom line, he shouldn't have thrown the pass, but he did.
Rookie mistake? Would you say that?
No. What I would say was miscommunication and confusion on the play.
Hmm.
And with that said, he just shouldn't have thrown it. Will he throw it next time? Probably not. Throw it away. You know, Shedeur Sanders did a similar thing. He threw a ball that hit the defensive back in the shoulder. Remember that one?
Yeah.
So, but the guy didn't catch it. So should Shedeur throw that pass? No. Will he throw it next time? Probably not. I thought both Shedeur in game one and Dylan in game two did some really nice things. And I was left intrigued by both guys. I thought the offense looked better with Dylan Gabriel. Just looked like it was operating a little more smoothly, a little more efficiently. But he was involved in two plays that didn't go well, turnovers. And Shedeur was involved in two plays that were touchdowns. Terrific. And I'm just left intrigued by both guys. And I think, Andy, for us to sit here and say, who looked better is silly. And I mean anybody to sit here and say, who looked better is silly. Two young guys in their first games both looked intriguing enough that I want to see more.
I especially on the touchdown pass, Shedeur Sanders, to me, looked extremely confident inside that red zone. And so that to me, that was important. I think Dylan Gabriel throws a better ball, but for whatever that's worth,
I agree with that.
Sanders has a way of getting the ball to the guys. Does it have to be perfect? No. And sometimes you see quarterbacks that throw the ball too hard and guys have trouble catching. I think we've seen plenty of quarterbacks like that here that there's no touch or finesse on the ball. It's just zip, zip, zip as fast as you can. And sometimes that doesn't work. For Gabriel, I just thought that the offense just had, they had a rhythm to themselves. They had a swing. There was something about the cadence or just the way they were moving the ball up and down the field, and there was no hesitation. He was in the zone early on in that game, just getting the team down the field and putting together drives. And I love the third down
plays.
Yeah.
And I mean, really
he, what was he, 4-for-4 on the first drive down?
He played well, and then he made a bad throw.
Yeah. He was able to, and I was looking for the height problem, and it wasn't blaring. You know, were you looking for it? Were you looking for him being small, but like short?
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because
Tyler Huntley had a couple of passes batted down. Dylan didn't. I mean, he's small, Andy. I mean, he's not a big tall guy, but I thought he threw the ball well, and I thought he did a nice job. And I thought Shedeur did the same thing. I thought he threw the ball well in his start.
So I'd
say more.
I also thought about this, too, when I was talking to Tyvus on the pregame show Saturday. And for all the times that we want to say, well, I wish the quarterback 6'1", I wish the quarterback 6'2", whatever, if you're a defensive back or you're a linebacker and you happen to check back on the line, it may be to your advantage. And again, this might be crazy, but it might be to your advantage if you're shorter as a quarterback. Because if they're trying to read a quarterback and you can't see him, And you're able, and then the quarterback finds a hole. I was trying to find a way around that.
Let's go with that. Let's go with that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Tyvus looked at me. No. Tyvus gave me a good answer. I'll ask him again at 1 o'clock if you want to hear the answer. I thought he gave me a great answer. Again, if you're looking to see which way the ball, if the ball coming to the right side, it's coming to the left side. If you can't see the ball, what are you doing?
Well, okay.
I was looking for a positive, Jeff. Okay. I can see your sarcasm there.
Well, I mean, if you have to deal with what you have.
Right.
And he has the fact that he's not 6 foot tall. So he has to try and accentuate other aspects of his game and try to play to his strengths. And one of them might be deceit. You know, can I be deceitful when I'm going to throw the ball? Maybe. I mean, guys do.
Defenses come to the line and are deceitful all the time. They show one thing but end up doing another. Or they come up and they give you the initial look before they say hike, and then boom, they change. And so you get a different look. It's the same thing on D.
Did either one of these guys of the rookies leave you thinking, we have this year's starting quarterback? Because they didn't leave me feeling that way. Right now, I'm going Pickett or Flacco.
Yeah, I'm still going Pickett or Flacco, but I think they're on the right road to getting there.
Yeah,
like I think either one of those guys could. Either one could be on the right road. Again, I'll go back to what we said before the first preseason game of the year. Like, how are you really judging what you see? Is it real? Is it not real? You're going up against Carolina's first team for, what, one series? And then you're going up against the Eagles' second teamers, but the Eagles have a ton of depth on the defensive line. So now you're like, how do I read this? How does this play? And I think we're sitting here trying to judge. I think the real question becomes, if the Browns want to keep three quarterbacks instead of four, do they feel like they have two guys that could step up if they wanted to trade Kenny Pickett, if they wanted to trade Joe Flacco? That nothing would surprise me at this point. I don't think they're going to, but if somebody came in and made an offer for Flacco and they were like, oh, well, maybe we'll trade Flacco. I don't think they're in love with either one of the veterans. I shouldn't say that. I don't know that they're in love with Joe Flacco long-term in love with. I think for this year, if they want to have the opportunity to win.
Why do we have to be in love with football players?
Because that's the way it is. That's how you become the franchise player. You know what I'm talking about, how coaches love certain players over other players. Why some players work in some systems and don't work in others.
Love is a big word, Andy.
Oh, it is, Jeff?
I think we use it too frequently.
We do? Really?
It needs to be saved.
Well, so
that's
what
someone
word?
Special.
Really? And you know, Jeff, if you're thinking about someone special this holiday season, go to my friend Josh Bookman, Bookman & Son.
Oh. Yeah, because Labor Day is the perfect time to get engaged.
Well, we're all... Never mind. I was going to make a joke about labor. 216-474-00, and I wasn't talking about the guys at work. I was talking about the coming into the
easy
world part of it. So, Jeff, give me the biggest points that you got out of this preseason game. Like, and I want to hear from you guys, too. 216-474-0092. And by the way, a little bit later in the show, we'll get into what he said to Aditi Kikabala about entertainers. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But, Jeff, just give me your overall.
I'll give it to you again. I thought Dylan Gabriel looked like a guy who had been there, done that.
Beyond Dylan, though. I just kind of...
Oh, the entire team?
Yeah, just... Or you can go offense and defense if you want to. I don't care.
I think Jamari Thrash has a chance to make some plays for this offense. And I can't wait to see somebody in the running game who looks like they want to be a running back.
Well...
Running game... And they ran the ball real well. As a team, they ran the ball well. I think Amani Marshall looks okay. I just thought, okay, I really want to see, a Nick Chubb, Andy. I want to see a guy who's like, wow, okay, that's the guy. And I think they did a nice job running the ball, which I think bodes well for the whole entire team, if you want to know the truth, because they ran the ball well without Quinshon Judkins. Without Dylan Sampson, without Nick Chubb, I thought they ran the ball well.
I thought Pierre looked good.
I like Pierre. I think he did a nice job.
Pierre, 13 carries, 89 yards.
Yeah, I thought he did a nice
job. Amani Marshall, 6 carries, 25 yards. Even Larvadan had 16 yards on the ground. I like Gage Larvadan. I hope they have a spot for him now. You think he's pushing? Do they have to keep six wide receivers to keep him on the active roster?
Yes.
And then he'd probably be inactive. I think they're at the point now where he'd have to be number six. He's been able to do a lot of things. I understand why everyone was so impressed with him early on in practice, and we've seen it now, you know, through eight quarters of the preseason. I hope they can find a spot for Larvardin. I do.
I don't want to. I'm not going to worry about the sixth wide receiver.
But that sixth wide receiver,
I'm more worried about Isaiah Bond. Can you get him up to speed and on the field?
Still, he had three catches for 43 yards and a 26-yarder.
No, I think he's done a nice job, Andy. I do. But I'm not worried about him. I'm more worried about Deontay Johnson. Is Deontay going to be what he was in Pittsburgh? I wonder if Isaiah Bond joining this team means anything with Deontay Johnson's status.
Let's talk about Bond here in a second. I do want to take a couple phone calls. Aaron is in Cleveland. Hey, Aaron, how are you?
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I just want to see, like, logically, how do we compare two beautifully thrown touchdowns to zero touchdowns, one pick six, and let's not mention the fumble that he fumbled because his arms were short. He didn't get it into the running back's position. So, like, how is that comparable?
I mean, really, what are we comparing? We're comparing two guys who are going to be sitting on the bench to start the season. Let's not
right,
get ourselves.
Okay. Yeah,
so this is the reality. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about trying to figure out really the biggest thing we can find out between Gabriel and Sanders is could one of them be the backup so that if they wanted to trade Pickett, they could.
Or Flacco,
either one of those guys. Hey, I don't disagree with you at all. I thought the balls that Sanders threw for touchdowns were right on the money, and I thought they looked great. But I did see, I don't know how you can't, if you can't see any positive in the way the team was moving down the field with Gabriel, so you're saying that Sanders was an A and Gabriel was a C or a D, or what do you think? Give me it that way.
Yeah,
make it
exactly,
easy for me.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I think there's a momentum behind Sanders because of who his father is. His father is able to teach him how to read defenses absolutely in ways that, you know, Dylan Gabriel probably doesn't have. I mean, his father was one of the greatest cornerbacks.
But it's not
ever.
His dad's not playing. He is. Like, I understand what you're
but
saying from the lineage.
His father can mentor him. His father can teach. Each one teach one. So his father is able to take his information, his glory, and teach that to his son.
I got it. But
Dylan Gabriel's dad was a football player as well.
Yeah. But,
okay, but he wasn't the top five greatest cornerbacks ever.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He can't teach him during the game. Like, if at some point, I don't know if you're a father or not, you've got to be able to hand that. Okay, so you've got to be able to hand whatever you have off to your kids. But then at some point, you're going to have to say, coaches, go do what you're going to do, and I got to step back. I give Deion a lot of credit for stepping back. He's totally stepped back during this process here in Cleveland. And Shador wants that. He doesn't want his dad on it. And by the way, his dad's got other things going on too, you know?
But I'm just saying, he's able to teach him. Like, he was able to teach him while coaching him, and he's now able to have that ability going forth with his own career. And
that's
I just
cool.
think that overall, the offense – has a flow, has a momentum behind Shador that they don't have behind Dylan. If so, Dylan would have scored at least one touchdown pass. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Did they get in the end zone?
They scored points on three of Dylan's five drives.
Yeah, I mean, he can't.
But no touchdowns. The only touchdown
so
that
what?
Was scored on Dylan's behalf was
the team scored. The team scored. I'm not going to sit here and bash Dylan Gabriel because he didn't throw a touchdown but led touchdown drives. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Shador Sanders is the second coming of Patrick Mahomes because he threw two touchdown passes. They both, I thought, played real well, Aaron. They did a nice job. And I'm real pleased they have both of them. I think they did a very nice job. Both of them. Both. Should he have thrown that pass? No. Should Sanders have thrown the pass that hit the defensive back in the chest or in the shoulder and he dropped it? No. But it wasn't caught. So that looked better, didn't it?
Hmm. I can also understand how people see things from different angles.
Sure.
Just like I did, and I'm still trying to figure out what do we see from Carolina on defense, what do we see from Philadelphia on defense. I think you have to factor that in to try to come up. But at the end of the day, we're talking about two guys that are going to be riding the pine on Sundays to start the season.
Probably.
216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So you've seen two preseason games now. You've seen two different quarterbacks. You've seen two different rookie quarterbacks. You've seen Gabriel. You've seen Sanders.
I haven't seen the guys I really want to see.
I know, and hopefully that's this week, right?
I hope so.
Well, I thought that Kevin really alluded to it after the game, saying that we're going to see the starters on Saturday for the only home game, 1 o'clock against the Rams. And again, you'll be able to listen to that game right here on 92.3 The Fan. So, which one looked better? I mean, I know we've dissected
I thought they both had good moments, and I thought they both had a couple of things that they'd like to have back.
Do you want to... I'll put you on the spot.
Go ahead.
And we saw this on ESPN today, and nowhere have I seen ever that Sanders has been the number three quarterback on any depth chart, or even just heard anybody say Sanders is three. It always appeared to be that Gabriel was the three and Sanders is the four. And yet, as we were watching that, and we both kind of looked at each other like, oh, that was kind of weird. It said, did Gabriel pass Sanders for the number three spot? And I was like,
that's not the way they've been listed. So it doesn't really matter, truly. I mean, what matters is who's your one, who's your two. That's what matters here. And if one of the rookies isn't going to be the two, then hopefully, and I mean this sincerely, I hope they can keep them both and develop them. And I hope one of them becomes a really good quarterback. And then if one does, I hope the other one follows. Because then, I mean, that's a position that this franchise has struggled with like crazy. Why wouldn't we want an abundance of quarterbacks? You get two or three,
we want one great quarterback.
That's great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Then let's get a couple of others that can play, and you can trade one if you need to. I mean,
that's the Patriot way,
Andy,
isn't it?
We still don't have one. Let's keep that in mind.
Right.
We still don't have one quarterback. So I don't think we should be worrying too much about who's the third string and who's the fourth string, or even who's the second string. Let's find one and get that guy going, and then we go from there. And, you know, hope. Ideally, to me, it's Kenny Pickett or Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel. And I hope that one of those guys is the starting quarterback. And if it's not, and if it's Joe Flacco, well, good for Joe. Nobody could beat him out. I think that's bad for the franchise, but I because I would just love to see a young guy have a chance to maybe be the guy.
Dan, do you have that list in front of you? Do you have that who's the three, who's the four? Did we learn that over the last two games?
Just to the naked eye, I don't know if we did. I don't know what they're seeing inside of that building.
They both did a nice job.
Yeah, please, come on. I know what we're sitting here, but I do think that people want to say, look, there's no question Sanders is number three. And again, only in Cleveland are we debating the third and the fourth quarterback on a team. And some people will say that your fourth quarterback should be your starter because they want to see what he looks like.
There were things that Dylan Gabriel did in that game that were really impressive. I thought he read the field really well. I thought it seemed like he had more on his plate when it comes to command of an offense and that kind of stuff. I thought that's what it looked like. Again, to the naked eye. Nothing against Shedeur. Shedeur threw a lot of really nice passes. He threaded the needle on that touchdown pass as well, but it felt, you know, like watching a different style of offense compared to what Dylan Gabriel was quarterbacking.
I think my fear is that they do trade Pickett or they trade Flacco, and then whoever that is gets hurt week one or week two. I don't want them to put Gabriel or Sanders in the DTR's position. I just don't want to see. And that is my ultimate fear, is that somehow, some way, within the first 3 weeks of the season, one of these rookies has to start and it walks into a game with like probably no reps the way DTR did going up against the Ravens. Fans are absolutely on fire. It's a home game. And all of a sudden, the game starts and you're like, oh, this guy's just not ready. And I don't care if that's Gabriel or Sanders, either one. I that's the one thing I don't want to see. I don't want to repeat a DTR.
Okay.
I mean, the way you avoid
I'll save my thought.
No, give me your thought. I mean, that's why we're here. Yeah.
As I said, the way you avoid a DTR type of situation is you make sure that this guy has enough time to know what's going on and enough time to read a defense and has seen how fast the NFL game is up close and make sure that they have time to develop, which is what all rookie quarterbacks should do and not just get launched into the fire and hope for the best.
All right. Jeff, hold that thought then. All right. Levon.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, man?
Hi, Levon.
I'm doing all right.
What do you think?
Well, we will know if we have a quarterback by the end of the season. I'm thinking it's going to be Joe Flacco as far as the starting, but Sanders would be good. But this is a good theory. If we can't get a quarterback in the draft, maybe Miami, or we get enough quarterbacks, we might can bring the welcome back Baker Mayfield.
You ready to bring Baker Mayfield back? I just haven't seen that happening.
He signed it. And
by the
Tampa.
Way, I don't think Baker ever wants to come back. Let's
We can get Manning if we can.
Yeah, I don't know that Manning's coming out. All the word on the street is he's staying in for another season. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Liam is in Rochester, New York. Liam, how are you?
I'm well. It's William.
Oh, William. How are you, William? Ah.
I'm pretty decent. I appreciate it.
No worry. Sorry about that.
That's fair. Thank you guys for taking the call.
You got it.
I'm going to say this really quickly, and I hope it comes out as coherently as I'm thinking about it. But I'm kind of just frustrated with the whole analysis of the two quarterbacks, the rookies there. Looking at the game, I know that NFL teams average about 12, 13 possessions a game, mm-hmm. and they score on maybe four or five of those possessions. And the way Dillon Gabriel is being trained to play NFL quarterback, He's going to take what the defense is giving him, right? And that's fair. That's fine. But the defense is going to give you completions from the 20 to the 20 underneath. They're going to give you field goals because you're going to score on four or five possessions. That's 15 points. And in the NFL, you have to take touchdowns. So you have to take the throws that they're not trying to give you. And that's where you need arm talent, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a little, I'm kind of weary of the whole analysis of it because the Cleveland Browns have had Stefon Stefanski. This is his sixth year, and the real issue hasn't been quarterback. The real issue is not one aspect of the team has been good consistently. You haven't had good special teams consistently, haven't had good offense consistently, haven't had good defense consistently.
You're
none
saying
of the phases.
All three together? Is that what you're saying? All three together?
I would take one.
Well, I mean, when Prefer was here, the special teams was pretty good. And that's nothing against Bubba, but I thought he did a nice job. Flacco had a nice stretch there of, what, five, six games. And then they decided to go in the other direction because they wanted to force Deshaun back on the field because they're paying him all that money. I understand. And by the way, prior to that, the defense, and you can make the argument that when Flacco was playing really well, and winning, it was because of the defense too. So I see what you're saying. I just see it in micro doses while you're looking at macro doses, which is fine.
Well, no, what you just did is made my point for me because you
go ahead.
Just highlighted three different times and three different, just different aspects of it that were okay. They were never great. Things that were okay or serviceable at different times.
Sure.
But the top coaches in the NFL, they hang their hats on certain things. They're staples that'll be a part of their tenure there. You look at the Andy Reid's and, you know, they're going to get good offensive play even if all the receivers are down. They're going to be solid, right? The guy in Buffalo, his defense is going to play well even when there's a lot of turnover there. They're going to play well defensively. I mean, what is the Kevin Stefanski staple? What is he hanging his hat on?
I want to say quarterback. And William, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. I want to say when you ask that question, it's quarterback and offensive play.
It's running the ball.
Yeah, and I
controlled offense and
not making mistakes.
It went south last year when they tried to cater to Deshaun Watson. That's they got away from what Kevin Stefanski does. They never should have done that.
I can't argue that point at all. It looked like they were trying to
square peg round hole.
Exactly. And you know, let's not forget.
And then they tried to make it fit and it didn't work with the rest of the team. And it just didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, even Andy Reid had to leave Philadelphia at some point, right? So It's not always. I wonder what Kevin might look like in job number two, if that's what's going to happen next. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want that to happen. I don't know. Maybe it's the framework around Kevin or what's trying to happen. I also don't know who's calling all the shots and how what is it? Mind? Why can't I remember that again? Help me, Dan.
Hive Mind?
No. It's the Thought Process Partners.
Oh, Thought Partners. Yes,
Thought
yes,
Partners. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know how well Thought
Paul's
Partners.
An incredible thought partner.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and I don't know that Andy Reid needs a thought partner.
The problem,
Borg? You thinking like the Borg?
Well, yes.
The problem that the Browns have had under Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski has been the inconsistency. How do you go from winning 11 games to winning 3? How do you do that? And they have to get more consistent.
Hazmat's in Atlanta. Hi, Hazmat.
Nice suit.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. We're good. I got about a minute. Sorry, I could have taken the next second. Okay. I got about a minute. Sorry.
Okay, so I do want to start with the point that I don't think either rookie should start this year.
Okay.
And I'm not here to down one over the other. But if all things are equal, if both rookies can play, me personally, I would lean towards Sanders only because Sanders is going to bring what more to the team than Dylan if he's playing. Just like when the ticket sales went up for a preseason game, or we'll get more prime time if Sanders is playing. If both of them can play, there's nothing against Dylan Gabriel. If both can play, Sanders should be the choice because of what all of the extra stuff. And I know a businessman of an owner that has him is, he knows what I mean, mm-hmm. what I'm talking about.
What Johnny Manziel was here, right? That's your example, right? Johnny Manziel was here.
No, I didn't bring up Johnny because I didn't want Johnny to play.
Well, no, I'm just saying, if you're talking about from the marketing standpoint, Johnny was a success. Yeah. That was successful to bring him in from a marketing standpoint, never once on the football field. So.
Right, but we know that Sanders can do it on the football field. I'm saying if he can play, mm-hmm. from a marketing standpoint, he's the better option.
Hazmat, I agree with you. Good point. All right, let's come back. We're going to bring in Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram. Let's see his perspective on what we've got with this Browns football team through preseason game number two. It's all coming up. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.